Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Howdy, partner!
Oh my god. Oh my god.
It's thematic.
Hi!
Today we're going to be playing Western Legends. Designed by Hervé, French person, help out.
Let me play.
Developed by Travis R. Chance of Path and Light and Shadow and AJ Lambeth of Kamisama and Arnaud Charpentier. The artist is Roland McDonald of Battleline, Undaunted Normandy, Werewords, Escape Room, The Game, and it's published by Colossal Games. The description is historic characters from the American Wild West face off and write new legends across the face of history. Gather your gun, your mount, and your grit as you forge your path into the history books. Western Legends is an open world sandbox tabletop adventure for 2 to 6 players set in the American Wild West. Players assume the roles of historical figures of the era, earning their legendary status in a variety of ways. Gamble, drive cattle, prospect for gold, rob the bank, fight bandits, pursue stories, become an outlaw, keep the peace. The possibilities are darn near endless. The mechanics are action points, area movement, betting and bluffing, dice rolling, hand management, pick up, deliver, take that, variable player powers. The box art, a gentleman about to shoot you with a horse in the background, several horses in the background, a woman on the horse, a bald guy on the left.
And the guy in the middle, he looks like the guy, the man in black from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
And then some other guy with a bald head and a big mustache.
Apparently, I'm the only guy who's a spaghetti western fan.
I mean, you're generally the one who has all the movie references, so.
That's true.
All right. So would you pull it off a shelf?
BP?
Oh my gosh, Kiwi's staring at me like I should be answering this question. IDK. I mean, the mechanics, I do like the take that in variable player powers as well as betting and bluffing, so. Potentially, it sounds fun. I'm kind of over the Western stuff, but that's just me. I'm a medievalist as well, so I never get sick of medieval stuff.
Kiwi?
This one, I think mostly, not necessarily because of the cover, although I do like the art. I didn't realize until I made the show notes that it was the same person who did Undaunted Normandy, and I also enjoyed that art too. He did North Africa, too, so he did both of the Undaunted games. But I think mostly I would pick it up just because of all the stuff that I heard about it. And then, I don't know, Eric, if you watched it, but I did watch Becca Scott and Game the Game play it, and it looked really fun.
I like that. The idea of, like, kind of the open world game is really interesting to me, so I've been excited to try it out.
Yeah, you don't really hear sandbox game very often with a board game.
Right.
I've never heard sandbox game.
So sandbox games are things like Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption. It's usually computer games because you could, The Witcher series would be a sandbox game because it's like super open world. Mm. Most RPGs are considered
That's what I was thinking.
Sandbox, although RPG, I mean, the other games I listed too, there's usually like a storyline, but the fact that there's like offshoots, like RPG is not really because they do sort of force you to go along the storyline.
Oh, like some especially.
Depends on the game. I mean,
it does depend on the game.
I was just thinking though that last.
I mean, stuff with like Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption, like there is a storyline to get to certain areas in the game. You do have to follow the storyline, but generally like, you could spend hours not doing the storyline and be perfectly content with the game.
There's like a lot of options. Game. Like you could be a criminal. You could be a good guy. You could be a trade person. Like there's generally a lot of like routes you can take to play the game. All right. History of the Western Legends.
I'm so sick of this idea of American exceptionalism in history. I feel like as Americans, more so than other cultures, are just geared on, right, like the exception versus the norm. Like the norm in like the quote unquote Wild West was like pretty mundane stuff. Like even like I think Red Dead Redemption would actually be a pretty good kind of imitation because it's freaking boring when you're just sitting there trying to round up cattle. And also, like, the thing that these, like, exceptional stories do is they, again, kind of show, like, individualism, where if you really think about what it would take to, like, round up, say, you know, 1,000 herd of cattle, or even to rob a bank, like, you need cooperation of people. And so, like, these kinds of stories really leave out that type of narrative that is very much more a part of the Wild West. Like, even just thinking about homesteading. So I, of course, didn't want to look at, like, some of your normal cast of characters, but I did think of Annie Oakley because, again, you know, she also represents a female character in the Wild West that was also kind of this exceptionalism. But there's, like, lots of stories of female homesteaders, right, throughout this period. And they usually did it in teams. Homesteading itself was all about getting cooperation from your neighbors to help with seeds and planting and harvesting. So, yeah. The whole idea of this exceptionalism is, I feel like, really overplayed in Hollywood that began in the 50s and through all the dime novels through the 40s and 50s. And I feel like it's more myth and legend than it is, like, real history.
Yeah, I feel like you could make the argument that it began even before the 40s and 50s. Like, the 40s and 50s with the spaghetti westerns probably made it big, but stuff with, like, was it Wild Bill and his
show? And that's when I teach this period. Like, we start with Bill's, right, Wild Bill's Wild West show? No.
I think that, yeah, the Wild...
You have, like, this string from the late 1890s forward of this kind of growth of this type of narrative. That said, like, looking at the game and looking at how they're going to do it, it does seem like it would be fun, right? You could be Billy the Kid and, right, the gang. And while all of the exceptionalism may be more made for American audiences and kind of spurned America into the 20th century with these types of ideals, they do make for great Hollywood films, great radio shows, and I look forward to robbing you all blind.
Yep. Before we learn how to play,
we got to figure out how we're going to play.
You guys have to figure out. Well, I don't know. Does this count, though? Because Eric has seen...
BP, how do you think this game is played?
Betting and bluffing. Dice rolling. But, I mean, we have different things we can do, but we're going to have to interact, pick up and deliver. I don't know.
So what's the goal of the game? What do you think?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, to have the most points, obviously.
Okay. And how do you get those points?
Well, there's pick up and deliver. So I suppose you're going to take jobs. So that could be the thing where, like, right, you are given, like, 1,000 head of cattle that you've got to get up to Kansas City or something.
So we're going to Kansas.
Or Wells Fargo is sending their stagecoach, right, from Tucson to Sacramento, and you're going to rob it blind.
Okay, so robbing stagecoaches, driving cattle, and those are going to give us points. Is it, like, are we going for money? Or are we going for... What's our hand? We're doing hand management. What are we hand managing?
Cards. The jobs for the pickup and deliver. We're hand managing the jobs that we're going to do.
And we've got action points. So maybe, like, each job is worth some action points. So you can only spend a certain amount.
I don't
amount
know
of
what action points mean.
Pandemic, like, you can do four actions.
Yeah, pandemic where you got four.
Oh, Okay. So your four actions, but there's betting and bluffing. So maybe there's also this, one of the actions is that you're going to be, pretending that you have a legitimate job and when really you have the stagecoach job in your hand.
Okay, so you're going to, like, I'm driving this cattle right next to this stagecoach, pew, 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 and then you rob it.
So this is one of those times where, like, you guys are not very close, but you have really good ideas. And so it's just I would play the game you're describing right now. It's not the game that we're going to play, but I would play your game.
I mean, I feel like some of these mechanics remind me a little bit of the superhero art card game.
Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Yes.
Nope, not close. Nope. Some of the mechanics are in there, but not close. All right. So do you guys actually want to know how to play?
Sure.
All right.
Unless you want to play our game.
Oh, we have to make it eventually. All right, Eric, cue up Becca Scott's 10-minute video and just play the audio from that. No, just kidding. Okay, so player, we're going to compete over a series of rounds to be the most legendary by being the player with the most legendary points. You're going to earn legendary points by completing notable acts like fighting other characters, driving cattle, or completing story cards.
But I said that.
Yeah, you did. But other stuff is off. Although we'll be playing the recommended first game, which removes cattle.
So we're not going to play with the cattle. How can you be?
Do you want to? We can ignore that and we can play with cattle if you want. All right.
That
so
just
we're
gonna, sounds weird, by
we're
the
gonna,
way.
We're going to play with cattle. And then it does say, so normally you would deal out two characters to everybody and they would pick the two. It does recommend that you play with Annie Oakley, Bass Reeves, and Billy the Kid. And then we're going to play the short game, which is to 15 legendary points. So at the beginning of the game, players will get a random character card. So in this case, it's just going to be one of those three character cards. And the player with the most wanted character will go first. And in this case, of those three characters, whoever has Billy the Kid will go first because that character will be the most wanted. Okay, so on your turn, there's three phases. You got the start of turn phase, the action phase, and the end of turn phase. So the start of turn phase is super easy. You're going to check to see if you have any start turn effects, which are going to come from either your character, your mount, or items that you have. And then you're going to choose one of the following. You can either gain 20 bucks, you can draw two poker cards, which is where your hand management comes in, or you can gain 10 bucks and draw one poker card. Once you've done that, you're also going to choose. So you can have multiple mounts in the game and you can have multiple weapons, but on your turn, you can only have one mount and one weapon equipped. In the action phase, each player is going to be able to choose from three different actions. You can do the same action as many times as you want, but you only have a certain number that you can choose from. So action one is to move. So if you don't have a mount, you can move two spaces. If you do have a mount, you move the number of spaces that are listed on your mount card. You can move orthogonally or diagonally.
You got that in. Yeah.
It just has to be adjacent. And the only exception is you cannot cross the red dashed lines, which denote the two mesas sort of in the middle of the map. You can use an action card. So on some of the poker cards, there will be text and it'll say action. And you can play that card, do the action and everything it says. And then put it back. You also, some of the characters also have actions on their character card and some items have actions. So you can do those as one of your actions. If you play an action from a poker card, you have to discard it. The other ones you keep. Finally, or not finally, but next you can try and fight another player. So in order to do that, you're going to declare who you fight. You also have to be in the same space as that character. And then you're going to decide whether you're going to try and arrest that character, duel that character, or rob that character. So in order to arrest, you have to have at least one martial point, so you're on the good guy track, and the other player has to have some level of wantedness. In order to duel, you're just going to duel, and then rob is rob. So you're going to get different bonuses if you win based on what you do. So say I say I'm going to arrest BP. So I'm going to say, hey, where I have to be in the same spot. I'm going to say I'm going to arrest BP. And then we resolve.
And then I'm going to pick your pocket and run.
Yeah, we're going to resolve any start fight actions. And then I am going to pick one of my poker cards and play it face down. So they have normal face values. So two through ace, and then the normal four suits. And then you are going to decide whether or not you're going to fight back or not. If you don't fight back, you automatically lose. And if you do fight back, you are going to pick one of your poker cards and you're going to put it face down. And then we're going to reveal at the same time.
Obviously, I'm fighting.
Yep. And then we can play cards that say reaction on them. And we go until both players pass. And then at the end of all that, whoever has the highest value card remaining after all of the bonuses and reductions, that player is the winner. Tie always goes to the active player. So if you arrest somebody, you're going to gain a martial point. And then that arrested player is also going to end up in the sheriff's office in jail. If you duel, the winner is the active player is going to gain two legendary points. And if you rob, you're going to gain a wanted level and you're going to be able to pick to take either half of the other player's money or half their gold nuggets. And then the loser is always going to gain a wound, but they're also going to gain a poker card. And then the poker cards that are played are going to be discarded. Finally, you can take a location action. So a bunch of the locations all have different icons. So they have the general store, which lets you purchase items. You can play poker, which has elements of Texas Hold'em, and you can earn a good chunk of money. You can go pan for gold. You can go to the bank to deposit that gold. You can also go to the bank to try and do a bank heist. You can go to the saloon and you can revel it up and you can basically pay for legendary points by partying. And then you can also go get cattle. So there's two cattle ranches. There's a blue and a green. And then if you want to get marshal points and be good, you take the cattle to the rail station. If you want to get wanted points and the bonus on the back, you take it to the other cattle ranch. So basically you steal from the one ranch and you take it and give it to the other cattle ranch. And then finally, at any location, you can do work and just gain 10 bucks and not do the action for that thing. All right. And then at the end of the phase, players are going to check to see if they resolve any story cards. The story cards will say, like one of the examples was spend 80 bucks in a single turn and you'll put your disc. And then once we get the requisite number of discs, which for a 3 to 4 player game is going to be 2 per story card, we're going to flip that story card over and resolve what it says. And whoever contributed to it is going to get some sort of bonus from it. And then you're going to discard down to 5 cards. Every wound you have is going to decrease your maximum number of cards in your hand. And if you're wanted, you're going to gain legendary points from the wanted track. The marshal gains points at the end of the game. So when a player reaches the correct number of legendary points, the round is finished. And then each player is going to... So we're going to finish out the round. And then every player will get one final turn before we do end of game scoring. You're going to add up all the legendary points you earned during the game. Any legendary points from upgrading your weapon or mount. You'll get one legendary point for every 60 bucks you have. You'll lose a legendary point for every wound. And then the most wanted player is also going to get 3 legendary points. And everybody else on the wanted track will lose a legendary point. And then the marshal will gain legendary points based on the marshal track. And then there's about 3 levels of tie breaking before it just says share the victory. There's also some non-player characters in there. There's bandits that run around that you immediately have to fight. If you're wanted and you run into the sheriff, you have to fight the sheriff. And for the bank heist, you have to fight the bank guard.
Let's play! Pew, 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 pew!
Yeehaw!
We just finished a game of Western Legends. To recap, BP had 16 legendary points. I had 17 legendary points, and Kiwi obnoxiously won with 18 legendary points.
Happy end.
Yeah, he was losing the whole game, and then he just won at the very end because Kiwi. What was your strategy?
I don't know if I had one. I was losing until we did the who was ahead for wanted points. I thought one of you guys would take it. I forgot about the being the most wanted, but I figured like because I knew you get a lot of points at the end if you were wanted. So
you
I tried to get high
me
up.
To the sheriff's office.
I did. I fought BP.
No, Eric sent me to the
Eric sheriff's. Sent me to the sheriff's office.
Because otherwise I would have been the most wanted.
I robbed you because we didn't do that during, nobody did that during the game.
Oh, that's the only reason you robbed me? Well, not that I also had the most money.
Also, you were there and you had a lot of money. You were like walking around town. Look at all the money I have from the gold nuggets I found.
I did go gambling.
Oh, you varmints.
Yeah. I did go gambling the night before.
Yeah. So BP was leading in legendary points and in the wanted tracker. So, and after their fight, the sheriff showed up to arrest one of them. And I went with BP because she was in the lead. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't realize that Kiwi could gain a ton of points at the end.
Yeah. Could basically come out and win the game.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was going to happen. So I thought she was the biggest threat. So I tried to take her down a notch and, Yeah. I mean, I think it was one or the other. If I'd gone for Kiwi, you would have won by a lot. And if I went for you, then I guess Kiwi was going to win. So,
I mean, it was close in the end.
It was a very close game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all did a little bit of everything. I did a little bit more of the cattle driving. You guys did more bank robbing.
I mean, I went straight bad. Yeah. I was the first one to rob a bank very first turn.
Yeah. The first turn.
A Pinkerton robbing banks.
I don't think anybody went on the Marshall track. We were all pretty much bandits. So what did you think of the theme? BP.
Yeah. I mean, well, like, so I'm trying to be more evaluative like you guys are. Like, I mean, could you place anything else on this? I mean, possibly. But you definitely did feel like, I mean, I don't know about the poker. I feel like the poker was kind of like flavor. I don't know. I mean, I definitely felt like I was going to the dark side. Again, could it be anything? I don't know. But I felt like I was definitely an outlaw in the Wild West.
Kiwi?
Yeah, I felt like the theme was good. I think somebody said at the very beginning, like, oh, there's so much to do. But I felt like all the things were pretty thematic to maybe not necessarily the real West, but at least thematic to what you would see in the video games West. Or movies, like bank robbing and cattle hustle wrestling and prospecting for gold and playing poker in the saloon. So yeah, I feel like thematically everything, all the little bits and pieces went together. And I loved the, like, when you upgraded your items and your stuff, like, they gave them names.
Mm-hmm. I had Poncho.
Yeah, Poncho the horse. I had Sarge the horse. A Mustang, yeah. Still a horse.
It's very
I had Sarge. Horse. My pistol, the Persuader. That's great.
Mine was just...
There's a lot of good thematic elements. And, I mean, yeah, it's basically Arizona tourism right here. So, it's what they hype up. So, it plays into that pretty well. Yeah, I mean, I think it captures it. You'd have to try pretty hard not to. The story elements are good. Reading out all like the little, you know, scenarios and stuff. Art, BP?
I thought the cards were good. I mean, some of them kind of static, but the poker cards were very good, I thought. Having different elements that helped illustrate what the action was. So in that sense, like, I feel like the art complemented the action play as opposed to, you know, just being flavor or whatever. Like, I feel like there was a complementary aspect to the art, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you look at the card and you can see like a guy running is a sprinter, that kind of thing. And I like the little board. Map board is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. The names on them were fun. Like, yeah.
Yeah, everything's kind of named. I mean, I think it's good. I don't think, like, the card art is spectacular, but it gets the job done. There's a lot on the board. So I think if you tried to overdo it, it would be probably overwhelming.
Yeah, I think art-wise, my only complaint is kind of similar to what my complaint was for Undaunted Normandy, which is the same artist. And I think I understand it from like a monetary standpoint, is all the kings, no matter what suit, were all the same art, which makes sense. It's easier to look at. But like, I feel like you could have changed up that art just a little bit. Like, the king is it looks like a woman in cowboy hat. Maybe she's like a cowgirl to do something. But, you know, you could have changed the pose a little bit. You could have made it like a character,
for the different suits,
different ethnicities, to make it a little bit more diverse across the characters. Because that was my complaint with Undaunted Normandy. Like, you know, all of Rifleman A was the same exact art and they just changed the skin color a little bit. But it was, you know, that was like a layer in Photoshop or whatever. But I think from a monetary standpoint, it makes sense because you have to pay for each piece of art. And I think, you know, Eric, I think you just said it, like, you know, it's not very... The art isn't something you would write home about, but it's also not distracting, which is what you wouldn't really want, especially with like a busier, but fun, but busy board itself.
Right, so, yeah.
Well, I think they went busy. The busy part is kind of the map art. There's a lot going on there. And I think they just, yeah, you got to pick like one piece to highlight and then everything else can kind of be background, I think.
Yeah. And my complaint is like a nitpicky thing. Like, it doesn't really... It doesn't matter. It's just
exactly mechanics. Kiwi. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot. I don't think. One person lost a fight. I think you were just limited on cards when it got there. But that was,
because you threw that one on me. That was like, we're gonna start over. I was F you.
Oh, well, the one fight between players. Yeah. And then I capitalized on that with the marshal.
I feel like this kind of goes into rules a little bit. I was in like, so I'm just going to mix them together both right now. There's so much to do in this game that I feel like I was in the rule book a lot. So it was like every time somebody chose to do something, I was going through the rule book to find that section and just working through, which I don't know if it's really a complaint. I think it did slow our game down a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
I was starting to get frustrated because I felt like I was doing so much that I just felt busy. Like I didn't have any like downtime to like think about stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a function of there being so much stuff.
Yeah.
So I think this is definitely a game that I think the more you play and the more people are familiar with the each aspect of the actions that you can take, it'll speed up and it'll go a little bit easier. But this first playthrough, like I felt like I was in the rule book the entire game.
And I've thought a lot about like these sort of sandbox style games, because I really enjoy the concept of them in video games and stuff. But when I've thought about designs of them, it's almost like you're building an asymmetric game in which anybody could do anything at any point. And that's just going to lead to a lot of rules. And I was curious how it would actually like play out. So it's interesting.
I mean, it's kind of my fear with Root, like from a teaching aspect.
But how did you feel like, so there's a lot of different actions you can take. How do you think they all played together, though?
I mean, I think the one good part is the mechanics that went into some of the actions were similar, right? So if you wanted to rob the bank, it was the same as if you fought a bandit. Mm-hmm. It was the same as if you fought the sheriff. Poker is generally like, I think Eric said, like, you know, I don't know how to play poker, or I don't know the rules. Like, I think poker in general is like, you know, you want to make pairs, you know, you want to make three of a kind. So like the idea of poker is you're not making a new game.
Right.
Yeah.
And I did like the duel. And I think Eric said it at one point. He was like, oh man, like, I don't know if I want to play this high card because I want the words on it. Mm-hmm. And like you had some cards for like reaction wise, where it was like, you didn't want to play that card, even though it was high, because you wanted the reaction off the card. So I did like that. The dual aspect of the poker cards.
Right. Or wanting, what I wanted to do at the end was I was trying to save my cards to play poker because I had two pairs.
Yep.
Yeah. I think my big problem was like I played poker early in the game. One, I didn't really know poker. And two, I don't like poker. and so after the first round, I was like, oh yeah, I don't like poker. But like the problem was I didn't have other players there. I was playing against
House,
yeah. And the house didn't have to have the worry about, oh, I don't want to give up my good cards.
Right.
So yeah. I felt like I had no chance of really beating the house because it had no disincentive of playing better cards. I don't know. I felt like that was the weakest part of the game. It's almost like they had to put it in there because it's a Western game. But that was like, I felt like what really slowed the game down. But also, I don't like poker. So, I mean, I could go together. But I did feel like I almost felt bad that like I was playing poker and you guys were like, well, Kiwi is playing the house, but like BP was like doing nothing for a while. And I was like, I'm going to move on to something else. Phone. I know. She was playing nothing. Same thing. Right. And that was the same thing. Like when you guys were playing poker is when I got up to go get a drink and stuff. Cause it was otherwise I was pretty interested in what everyone else was doing. He's like, oh, you're moving the marshal, or you're moving to this spot, or all of a sudden we're all wrestling cattle at the same time. BP, your favorite mechanic?
But can I start with my least favorite mechanic?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think we had discussed this in the middle of the game where I felt like there really wasn't that bluffing betting style. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like that. I mean, to me, that's more, again, kind of camel cup style where we're. So I did not see that, but I liked the. And I realized I never used my player action. I don't think any of us did our variable player power.
The only one for because yours was an action and it didn't really help you. Didn't really help you
Oh, because was it a martial action?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what your action. I guess I could look at it.
Whatever.
But mine was like, if you rob somebody, you could also take one of their items. And it was the end of the game. And one of your items wouldn't help me. So I didn't bother taking it.
Yeah. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So that mechanic I didn't think was there. Otherwise, like, if we're talking about mechanics, I mean, felt like I was bringing that up because the variable player action is there, but I don't think any of us triggered it. Definitely hand management with the poker cards, because I really did. I would often discard cards. So I feel like I was more conscientious than many others about like what cards I had in my hand at all times, but also because I got in a lot of fights.
You did get in a lot of fights.
I did. I got the most fights, I feel like.
Yeah, I do. I agree with you, though. I think the betting and bluffing, like that mechanic, like you could see the pieces of where it was, but I think it was the weakest of all the mechanics. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite part was the dual purpose poker cards. Mm-hmm. That was probably my favorite part of the game. Mm-hmm. Mechanics wise.
The betting bluffing also goes into my kind of thing about poker, not really doing a whole lot, I feel like, because that would be your betting bluffing piece. But it also is just sort of like a side thing that didn't quite play as much.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you did the benefits for the gameplay you didn't get for the amount of time and energy you were going to be spending into it.
Yeah, because part of the betting bluffing that goes into poker is like you play more and there's rounds of betting where that's not the fact in this game. Mm-hmm. You pay once to Annie Ann and then you just try to have the best hand.
Yeah.
It's not really poker. And that's why I said like, hey, poker, it's got elements of Texas Hold'em.
So we already talked a little about rules from Kiwi's side. What about BP? What about learning the game?
I was the one who said there was a lot. I think the beginning was definitely very overwhelming. As far as like when luckily I was the third player to go for the first round. So by that time, but I think as Kiwi was explaining that he was in the rule book a lot, it really was. I feel like for first two or three rounds where it was like constantly like we're all doing something new and different. So we had to figure out like, okay, I want to do this, but I definitely know the first round around, like he had to tell everybody again, like what we got to do. So there's definitely a learning curve to it. But there's some overlap. So again, like you're fighting bandits, you're fighting the sheriff, there's a similar thought process, but I feel like there's a curve.
Yeah, my approach is just like, I'm going to go to the happy face place and see what that does. And then it really didn't do much for me because I didn't have money. And then I went to the next place to see what that does. And that was my approach. And then I just sort of like, I mean, like you said, Kiwi had to basically, every time you do something new, we had to figure out what that was. And that kind of went on the whole game, because like first we did like saloon and then gambling and then he did prospecting and we had all sort of did cattle stuff for the middle. And then there were some fights and it seemed like all the way to the end, like, I mean, you still had a duel at the end that we had to figure out. And basically every turn we were finding some new thing we had to get rules on. So, yeah, but I feel like overall, though, like it does kind of flow well together and you do kind of just pick a thing to go do. I don't think it was hard to learn. I think it's hard to get all the rules down.
Right.
Yeah. Just because there's so much.
Right.
The rule book is laid out well. I think there's some wording choices like lose a wound and gain a wound. That's kind of abnormal the way it is. I feel like they should have said like suffer a wound or heal a wound probably would have been a much better way, because there was some confusion on like, wait, gain a wound. Does that mean I get a wound? It's like, no. Like almost all of the actions had some sort of example, except for the ones that were like there wasn't one for like prospecting, but the fights, the bank heist, those all had examples. There was examples of like end of round, like after a player's turn. So they're good examples and it was laid out well. I think some word usage probably could have changed, but.
Player interaction on this one is kind of interesting because it can either be a lot or not very much depending on what people do. But like, I mean, I thought we were going to get into a big cattle war because we all went to the top row of cattle and I was like, we're all going to be fighting each other along the way. And we just sort of tipped our hat as we passed by each other and went about our business.
Hello, fellow criminal.
But then, exactly. But then obviously at the end, it kind of amped up and you guys were fighting it out in old Dark Rock down Kiwi. There.
Yeah.
Well, we hadn't done that. And so that was part of it. And then it was also like, well, I could fight BP and she has a ton of money. So I'm going to rob her.
It's pretty variable, I guess, based on your group and what you want to do. I think there's always going to be a little bit. I don't think you can get away with this game without some confrontation, but it definitely could have been a lot more too. But yeah, and I mean, overall, I think it's pretty good. You can definitely impact other people's games pretty heavily. Would you play it again, Kiwi?
Yeah, I would play it again. I don't think it would be something that I would add to the collection. I think there are other games that have lots going on that I would play. I'm trying to probably Gloomhaven, but that seems like a cheating go-to because we already done an episode about it. But yeah, I would play it again. I don't think it's something that I would put into the collection though.
BP?
I'd play it again as well. I'd actually consider it.
Oh.
For the collection.
Well, in that case, maybe I'll reconsider.
Although if it ends up in Eric's house, I mean, that's...
Well, would he play it again?
I don't know. Would you play it again, Eric?
I mean, I would definitely play it again. I had fun playing it. I think this is definitely a good in-person game.
Yes.
I feel like we handled Tabletop Simulator and online gameplay. You know, I think we enjoy it more than some people do. Some people just don't like it.
Right.
But I feel like game, you know, it's just one that I feel like the interaction would be better if we were all around a table and, you know, slinging cowboy phrases at each other.
There's also a lot of stuff to manipulate too.
Yeah.
That I think.
Well, I also know Eric kind of, even though, I don't know. I mean, you've got Colt Express I feel like you like this Western theme though.
I mean, I live in Arizona. It's required. I don't love it though.
I don't know that it's required, but yeah, you can still hate it.
You would be very annoyed all the time if you weren't okay with it. But no, actually, my comment was going to be, I'm still intrigued by the concept of sandbox games. And I thought that this was a good one.
Yeah.
But
I can see that.
I want to try some, there's not many of them, but there's some others I kind of would like to try and see if maybe.
Okay.
Because for me, like poker card thing was probably, I mean, I liked it, the ingeniousness of multi-use cards, but that didn't appeal to me as much. So I kind of want to try some other ones. See how they compare to this one. And that's Western Legends.
So Eric's interested in more sandboxes. I think BP is as well. If you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com. Or hit us up on the Twitter, Instagram at First Turncast and the Cowboy Podcasting Camel, which, of course, there were those in Arizona, says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from y'all. Play more games. I'm gonna go for it. Let's rob the bank.
Okay.
She didn't make it one turn.
Speedy Fox! Oh my god, I can get a Mustang! Playbook again? It's like gin.
No, it's not anything like gin. There's the list of